Okay, it's really great to be here on what Richard was saying is a very exciting day. And the first thing I've got on my notes at the top here is today is a very exciting day. So there's at least two of us think that. And it's quite interesting that on a day that is all about recognizing a new elder, there are two of us here who are elders who've come to the same conclusion that this is a very exciting day. And Eric here is almost jumping with excitement. We'll come to the reason. Well, steady, yeah. But it really is, it's great to be here. So my name is Steve, this is Ruth, my wife. We've just driven down from Huddersfield, from Yorkshire, God's own county. And we've got lots of snow up there. But it's great to be here with you. So Ruth and I, we did the church in Huddersfield, the Ark Church, which we planted about 4 years ago, moving over from York. I've been an elder in churches for about, getting near almost 20 years now. Started out in Bedford and then York and now Huddersfield. And we're all part, this church is part, originally Community Church as well, we're part of a family of churches called New Frontiers. And it really is great to feel part of a family. So we've been in our church this morning, we've worshipped God and done, you know, what you're doing here as well. And they come here and it just feels like family. And that really is wonderful. And it really is exciting to be here with you. And over the last 10 years or so, I've not only been an elder myself, but seen how lots of eldership teams work in churches. And I love days like this. And today is an exciting day for you guys at Rugeley Community Church, because today you get another elder, another man who is going to serve you, care for you, and lead you into good things. Yeah, another one who's going to serve you, care for you, and lead you into good things. I don't know if that's what your understanding of what an elder does is or not, but that, as I'm going to show you, is what the Bible says. Yeah, and that's a really good reason for you to be excited. Yes, I have, but it's turned off. I don't know how that's happened. Put it down there. Secret messages coming through. So the first thing is this. You're getting another elder. And interestingly, I've got down here on my notes, some of you may be thinking, well, we've already got two. Isn't that enough? And actually, when I was writing this out, I sort of found myself putting a question mark and an exclamation mark after that sentence. So it's almost as if some people might be saying, well, you know, really questioningly, we've already got two, isn't that enough? Whereas others, those are ones with a question mark, others may have an exclamation mark. We've already got two, isn't that enough? You know, do we really need another one? Well, the thing is, in the Bible, eldership is always plural. It's always plural. You don't really see in the New Testament elder, except when it's talking about the qualifications of an elder. When it's talking about eldership teams leading and serving churches, it's always in the plural. And two is already always better than one, and three is infinitely better than two. Okay? It just sort of works that way. Three is a wonderful number. Okay, reminds us of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, your three elders may not quite be, you know, working at such an exalted level as the Trinity, but three is so much better than two. So it's great that that's what is happening. Eldership teams are so much better than lone rangers. The Bible doesn't really envisage the one-man ministry, the Superman ministry, the one person who does everything for people. It always teams. And when you get teams coming together, different people bring to the table different gifts, different skills, different passions even, different specialities. And teams can always carry more things, carry heavier loads than individuals can. Now, someone may be able to help me with this one. I remember reading once, I couldn't find the detail when I was looking up for this one. If you take a horse, a cart horse or something, and hitch it up to a... Do we have any farmers here? Oh, good. All right, you're going to back me up on this. If you take a horse and hitch it up to a wagon or something like that, and it can pull a certain amount of load, if you hitch up two horses together, the cumulative load that they can pull is bigger than the two times it by two. Do you know what I'm saying? That when good, someone's nodding. You're not a farmer. So the three together will be able to carry so much more than the three individuals. And that means, as a church, yeah, that great things are in store for you as a church, because the eldership team will be able to carry more together as God brings more into the church. So that's the first thing. You're getting another elder. That's exciting. But then another elder who will serve you and care for you. Serve you and care for you. Biblical leadership is always servant leadership. It's servant leadership. Leaders in the Bible are servants. It's not about Andy's reached the top of the greasy pole of church, you know, sort of one-upmanship. No, in actual fact, he now becomes a servant of all. Biblical leadership is servant leadership. And the supreme model of that, of course, was Jesus. Jesus Christ himself. For even the Son of Man, Jesus said, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In the book of Philippians, Paul says, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. To servers, Jesus descended from the highest place in glory to the lowest form of death that could be imagined. Death on a cross at Calvary. The one who was exalted above everything and everybody chose to serve people, to serve us, by descending to earth and to die on a cross. No one was more exalted than Jesus. And no one more humbled himself to serve people, to win people. He's the model for all of us in leadership. And it's a tough model. It's a tough act to follow. But that's the model. And one of the words of the images that is used in the New Testament for elders, many of you will know, is the shepherd. The shepherd. Jesus is called the good shepherd of the sheep, who lays his life down for the sheep. But elders are to be, if you like, under shepherds, those who are caring and serving the sheep under Jesus, who is head of the church and who is the good shepherd. And elders are to have the same willingness to care for and to lay down their lives for the flock as Jesus did. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Again, Paul in the book of Acts, when he's talking to the elders from the church in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he says to the elders, keep watch over yourselves first. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his blood. Now, it's pretty unlikely that Andy is going to actually physically have to lay down his life for you and to lose his life for you. I don't know what it's like that much in Rugeley. I don't know if the natives out there are particularly hostile. But, you know, we should remember that around the world, even in some of our New Frontiers churches, leaders have paid the price of their lives for overseeing the flock and their sheep. Now, Andy, I don't think it's going to happen here in Rugeley, but really, Andy will still be laying down his life because it's going to cost him. It's going to cost him and Jane and the family in terms of time, in terms of energy. And with eldership comes this, if you like, a burden, a weight. Now, it's not and should never be a weight and a burden that literally, you know, drags us down to our knees. But with God's help, God's spirit, God's power, it's a burden that we carry, that elders carry. But believe me, it is a burden. It is a burden. Caring and serving. In 1 Peter 5, Peter speaks about elders willing to serve and not lording it over those entrusted to them. And entrusted is a big word. It really speaks of a big responsibility. So what's happening today, if you like, is God is saying to Andy, hey Andy, I'm entrusting this lot to you. Wow. Wow. To care for people, to serve people, not to boss them about, not to control them, but there's a responsibility and an entrusting there as well. So it's another elder, one who will serve you and care for you, and then finally, one who will lead you into good things. You're getting another elder who will lead you into good things. You see, elders, overseers, whatever phrase we use, they give direction to the flock, as shepherds, if you like. They lead the church. Elders discern the will of God for the church and get a sense of direction as to which direction the church should be going. Elders are to point the way and say, this is the way, that's the way, that's not the way, this is the way. But it's never done in a sort of lording it over you or a bullying sort of way or a cracking the whip way. We can think of the word shepherds, and I don't know what your picture is of shepherds. Mine was always, what was that TV program? What was it, One Man and His Dog or something or other? You know, where the shepherd stands at the one end of the field and blows a whistle, and this dog goes zapping all over, yapping at the heels of all the sheep and herding them up and charging them this way and that way and whatever. And we can think of a shepherd as one who is, you know, at the back of the flock, cracking the whip, do this, do that, go this, do that. No, it's not like that at all. In Jesus' day, 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, the shepherd would lead from the front. The shepherd led out the flock. And the sheep, because they knew the shepherd's voice, followed the shepherd. They entrusted themselves to the shepherd. They were willing to trust the shepherd to lead them into good pasture. And that's the picture that we are to thinking about. Shepherds leading the flock from the front, not driving them along from the back. And because they are out in the front, that means that they face, you know, they face things first. All the stuff that you have to get through to get to good pasture, the rocky ground, the rough stuff, the wind, the weather, it's the shepherds, the elders who are leading the way who get all that first. And that's why you need to pray for them, okay? Because they are out front leading the way and leading the flock into good pasture. And elders, I always think, should never be asking people to do anything that they're not prepared to do themselves, anything that perhaps they've not done before themselves. It's not that, hey, got the top job now, so, you know, I just get carried along. You know, oh, you lot there, oh, by the way, I'm just going to have a sit down. Will you carry me along? No, the shepherds, the elders, are out front leading the way, leading the flock into good pasture, taking the flak, if you like. Therefore, they need your prayers, your support, your encouragement. They're not doing this for themselves. It's not for personal gain. It's for you. It's for the church. And that's why this is a great day for you. Talked about horses earlier. There's a great example from nature. So you know when you see flocks of geese, or you hear them first, don't you? Honking away. And you see flocks of geese flying across the sky, and usually often in a V formation. And apparently, I've never checked this out because I've never been up there with them, but all the geese are honking except the one who's at the tip of the diamond out the front. So I've read this, okay? Apparently it's true. My wife says it's true. She would, but anyway. So all the geese are honking except the one out in the front. Now, there's two ways of looking at that. The one out the front is not honking because he's taking all the flak. The reason they fly in a diamond formation is so that the ones near the back, they're protected. They're protected from the wind and everything. The one out the front takes it all head on. So the one out the front is, I haven't got time to honk, I haven't got the breath to honk. But all the others behind, naturalists tell us, the geese are honking, it's an encouragement. And I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a great picture, isn't it? You know, and that's how we're to look at it. Our elders are out there leading the way, fighting the good fight, leading us into good pasture. And the rest of us are honking along. So later on, we're going to do some great honking, okay? And as a team, that's what is going to be happening. And three is a good number to have, because at the head of a flock of geese, you've got the one, and then you got two, and then you got four, haven't you? Whatever. So it's almost like on different things and different issues, one of Eric or Richard Randy will be leading the way. This is my issue. This is my passion. I'm going to lead the way. The other two guys, they'll be the chief honkers, okay? You like that? The chief honkers. And the rest of you, encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. One of the great dangers is that you think, oh, they're the big men. They're the great men of God. You know, they need your encouragement. Having been an elder for nearly 20 years, I can tell you, I need encouragement. So I urge you, I exhort you to encourage your elders. Actually, biblically, Hebrews 13:17 says that elders are not to be just encouraged, they are to be respected and obeyed. Ooh. Ooh. Obeyed. Thank you. Obedience is can be a difficult word in our 21st century society. But in the New Testament, obedience to leaders is to be given in regard to the Word of God. So these guys, one of their principal tasks is to teach, to preach, to expound the Word of God. God's commands, God's instructions, God's direction for your lives. And in that sense, that's where you need to obey. And obedience and submission is crucial, just as much as encouragement. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to get it right every time, okay? Elders are as much in need of the grace of God as the rest of us are, okay? So it's a great day. It's an exciting day. It's God who raises up elders in the church. So it's God who's got and had his hand on Andy. And as Richard said at the beginning of the meeting, we are recognizing today something that has happened, something that God has done, something that's been recognized by the other elders, by Richard and Eric, something that we've recognized as an apostolic team in our bit of New Frontiers called Christ Central. We've recognized that as well as we've met and prayed and talked with Andy and the other elders. We're recognizing something that God has already done. To pray for us. Okay. Very good. I haven't finished yet. You can clap at the end. But I nearly have finished. God's raising Andy up. We're recognizing what God has done to join the elders who give oversight, direction, leadership to the church, but they do so from a servant heart. So it's exciting, isn't it? And now it's going to get more exciting because we're going to pray. Okay? So what we're going to do, and there's an opportunity for us all to be involved in this. I hope you've got some prayers in your hearts, perhaps even some words of encouragement or prophetic words. I understand some people have brought those. There will be plenty of space for you to bring those, for that to happen. What we're going to do, in fact, I'm going to suggest something radical. Are we allowed to move some chairs?
Yes.
Woo! That's good. Do that in a moment. Thank you. They haven't come with me, by the way. I don't know who they are. But, first of all, in a minute, the elders amongst us here, which includes Eric and Richard and Graham and Marcus, who are here from Stafford. I think, is there any other elder? I think that's it. Great to have you here, guys. I want us guys as elders to pray for Andy. Then we and our wives who are here are going to pray for Andy and Jane, because they are a team. And although Jane is not being called into eldership, it's a massive thing for them as a family. And we need to pray for them as a team. Then we're going to pray for eldership, new eldership team of the church, which will be Richard, Eric, and Andy, and we'll probably introduce their wives in there as well. So I want to tell you which way we're going and how we're doing it, because you may have a prayer or a prophetic word which fits that particular group and that particular time to bring it and pray it. Is that okay? Is that okay?
Yes.
What about you lot at the back? Is that okay? Good, okay, I better not encourage them anymore. Sorry, Richard. So what I'm going to suggest, can we move these, because you guys are going to be involved anyway. So the easiest thing to do, I'll have that, thank you, will be to move these 8 chairs here. And lo and behold, we've got this massive space, which is wonderful. So, what I'd like to do is I'd like all the elders to come and join me. So if you're an elder, come and join me here. And I'd like Andy to come and join us. Let's give him a round of applause. Woo! And we're going to pray for Andy as elders. Lay hands on him, which is the biblical model, and we're going to pray for him. Please feel involved. Please join us in our prayers, and as we move on in the next 15, 20 minutes or so, there'll be lots of opportunities for you to get involved. So let's just pray, and let's pray for Andy. Thank you, Lord. Let's lay hands on him, guys. Father God, we just thank you for this man. We thank you for bringing him amongst us in this church. And we thank you, Lord God, for the work you've done in him. And we thank you for calling him. And Father, we recognize your hand upon him. And we recognize what you have done in him and the role that you have called him into to be an elder in Rugeley Community Church. And therefore, Father, as elders, fellow elders in this and other churches, we commission you now, Andy, and we say to you, shepherd the flock of Jesus Christ. Oversee your people here, the people of God. We commission you to serve and to model servant leadership in this church. And in God's name, we anoint you now for this servant role. And we pray, Holy Spirit, would you come now and fill Andy and anoint him for service here in Rugeley Community Church. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill him. Give him everything that he needs in abundance and more on top of that. Give him all that he needs, Lord. Give him all that he needs. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's all just lift our voices and let's just pray for Andy. Come on, let's lift our voices. Lord, we just pray for Andy now and we ask you, Lord, fill him with the Holy Spirit. Anoint him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Would you do that? Come, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Father, I thank you that Jesus. Andy's not an Eric, neither is he a Richard. Andy
you,
is Andy Fisher.
And
Lord, you have called him with his character, with his attributes, with his gifting. You have called him to grow and move your church on, Father.
Yeah, thank you.
And Lord, I thank you that it isn't about Andy getting up tomorrow and being different in character.
That's right.
Lord, it is about being himself in you, Father.
Yeah,
but Lord, I thank you that when we lay hands and your spirit comes, there is an anointing that is upon his life. There is an authority that when he speaks now, that when he acts in the way he thinks, in discernment and wisdom, that comes from this day. So Andy, you're not to be thinking, I've got to be different in myself.
Yes,
you be all Lord. That you are to be in God has called you
yes,
to be.
Yes, Lord.
And just allow him to anoint you in that.
Yes,
and,
Lord.
And like all of us, keep growing in him. Keep growing in that deeper relationship with him. And Lord, I thank you that you are growing this church today, Father.
Thank you,
that, Lord, this is preparation for that which is yet to come. I thank you, Father, that you ordained this day, Father, before we had even thought or it was upon the horizon.
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, we give you glory for all that you're doing today.
Yes, Lord.
And, Lord, I thank you that Andy can take confidence that tomorrow you have planned out, Father. Tomorrow you know the way forward.
That's
so,
right.
Lord, I thank you, Lord. You for everything that he's going to bring to your church as your shepherd in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And don't let anyone put you down because you're young.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity.
Yeah.
Stay at your post, reading scripture, giving counsel, teaching, and that special gift of ministry you were given when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed.
Yes, Lord.
Keep that dusted off and in use.
Yes.
And Andy, as I was praying about today, I felt God say that he's not bringing you in as a junior elder.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
You come in as an elder.
Yes.
You are different to Richard and I, but actually you come in as an elder among other elders, and there's an equality of calling, an equality of anointing there, which you need, as it were, to step up to. Don't think of yourself as a junior partner in in the enterprise, as it were, but God says, I've called you to be an elder. Receive the authority that I've put on you, and exercise it in faith.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, I thank you that you don't call us to anything without equipping us with the gifts and the abilities that we need for that, Lord. So we believe that what you've put into Andy, Lord, in the days before this day have been to equip him for this moment, Lord. And that you've given him the gifts and abilities he needs, that as your spirit flows through him, so you'll enable him to lead with authority and confidence, to lead with grace and humility, to lead with compassion that comes from the heart of Jesus for the people of this church and for this town and for this nation. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've put that within him because you've called him to this task. And I thank you, Lord, it's a great and mighty and noble task, and Lord, that he should stand up with confidence to do that. And the picture I have for you is like a carpenter with an array of tools in front of you. And God has given you the tools that you need. and the ability to choose those tools and to use them to shape the church that he's building. And as one of the elders here, it's your task to see and discern the shape that God is building in this church and to use the tools that he's given you with your brother elders to shape that church. And I believe that God has made you a mighty craftsman and has given you ability to discern and to see his way forward. And this is an important day in taking that authority,
yes, Lord,
that comes with those gifts and that ability.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And as we were just praying, I was reminded of that song that says, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of my guilt within, upwards I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I think I want to pray for you that when Satan tries to attack you about who you are and about who you're and about your past, that you can look to Jesus and can tell him,
thank you,
tell Satan that somebody has cleaned up with you and with your past.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
And Father, I thank you so much that you are Andy's savior and his protection. Jesus, I pray for protection for Andy, that when he's flying at the front of one of these geese, and there's a new breeze of wind in his face, and he feels attacks about himself and about his person and about his past. Jesus, I pray that you're very close to Andy to protect him, that he can see you, that he can see your face in times of temptation and times of attacks, and that he can feel the rock under his feet and to feel that he's founded on strong foundations. Jesus, I pray that you protect Andy from attacks, that he can see you and he can be assured that you cleaned up with his past, that you cleaned up with things that haven't gone right in his
thank
past,
you, Lord,
but that he can go into a strong future with you as a savior. Jesus, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If anyone else has got any sort of prayers or prophetic words, just feel free to share them. Thank you, Lord. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I just kept getting that scripture in Micah. You know, what does the Lord require of me? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with him. And it's not putting a huge thing on your shoulder that's to weigh you down and to burden you in the wrong way. It's like you get before him, spend that time with me, he's saying, fall more head over heels in love with me, let that passion for me out, and everything else will follow.
Andy, as I prayed, I just had the word integrity. I just think you are full of integrity, as a man. And I looked at the definition of that, and it talks about the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, being sound. Psalm 26 says, for I, O Lord, have worked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering.
Yeah.
And I just thought, in the time that I've known you, Jesus, I've seen you go kind of from strength to strength.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And that you are, you're certain about things. You have a certainty that just oozes. And
I just
thank you for you, Andy, and bless
you. Thank
you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I asked the Lord for a word for you, and he reminded me of what his word to Peter, and I said, Lord, that's a bit negative today. And I felt, no, that's what the Lord wants to say. There's going to be days when you're not going to feel much of a shepherd. And the Lord will just say to you, Andy, do you love me?
Thank you, Lord.
And you'll say, yes, Lord, and he'll say, feed my sheep.
Thank you, Lord.
And
Jesus,
be encouraged.
Yes.
The Lord has chosen you.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Feed my sheep.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Just got a couple of scriptures. And the first is Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And just that bit about saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, almost like talking to your soul and sort of actually saying, you know, come on, bless the Lord's soul. It, you know, even if you have days like this gentleman just referred to, I think actually God's saying that's a massive encouragement. Yes, he's going to teach you how to do that, how to sort of like chivvy your soul to come and, you know, and you'll teach others as well.
Thank you, Lord.
And then the other scripture that I had was Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though its mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river. So that's what God's saying to you. There is a river.
Thank you, Lord.
Whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved.
Amen.
And God's saying, find the river.
Amen.
Find the river.
Yes.
And immerse yourself in his Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, Jane, do you want to come and join your husband? Let's welcome Jane. Thank you, Lord. And Jackie, Ruth, Philippa, come, let's pray. This is the first team. God has joined them together, and we want to pray for them in this that he's called them both to. As a family, they will actually thrive under God's hand as God puts his hand on Andy as an elder of the church. So let's gather around. Let's just pray for them. Father, we want to pray and thank you so much for this couple. And for their marriage, their life together, these two that you have joined together into one flesh. And Father, as you have called Andy, you have called them both into this, Lord God, and all that means for them as a married couple. And we want to pray for them. Lord, bless them. Bless their marriage. Draw them even closer together as husband and wife. Lord, we pray that they would have such a good understanding of one another, Lord God. And as Andy picks up this oversight role, Lord God, that he would be able to speak to Jane about the things that he needs to speak to Jane about and handle things on his own, and Jane would understand. And that, God, we just pray for them that they would flourish under your hand in Jesus' name. Let's all pray. Let's pray for them. And then perhaps one or two would like to pray for them as a couple. Lord, we just pray for them, Lord God. And we pray you would bless them, Lord God. And bless them, Lord God. Help them to flourish, Lord God. We pray that there would be no real sense of them suffering under this, Lord God, at all in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Lord. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, there's a program called Grand Designs, and I really felt like God was saying, you know, you guys, he has grand designs for you, but he wants you to have grand designs and big dreams. Not just for the church, but for yourselves and for your marriage and for your family. And the only requirement is that you have hearts that are yielded to him.
Thank you,
and the
Lord.
Verse that he's just reminded me of is in John about the I am the vine and you are the branches. And so the requirement is to stick close to the source. But in doing that, you can just have fun in having such big dreams
and
Lord. Grand designs.
Thank you, Lord. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This is for you both. It's the verse in Peter which says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And it's not just that you're going to care for us and you look after us, but you're both going to be built up. You're living stones. You're being put in a certain place at the moment. You're going to be shaped in that place. You're going to have all the stones on these wonderful buildings. You're going to have these faceted fronts put on you, but not artificial. It's what